Toys are usually for children to play with, sometimes for collection. Some are models of a person or a creature, so it's no wonder that we find some creepy. How can you tell a who from a what, especially when, sometimes, dolls are also alive? Welcome.
What you're about to listen goes beyond imagination and logic. From the thing under your bed, to the shadows lurking around it. This is your world melted beneath us, watching you hiding under your sheets, waiting. This is Spooky Horror.
Hey, before we begin, I hope everyone's still getting the spooky vibes from Halloween. I would also like to thank everyone for listening, because honestly, this show has received a way better response than what I would have expected. It already reached over 100 reproductions, which is not much, but I was expecting less than 10 reproductions, so that's just amazing. Again, thank you so much. This is recorded in Mexico, and it's very nice to have friends listening. But there's mostly people from the US and some around the world. So shout out to everyone listening from Australia, England, Denmark, and Singapore. No pressure for me at all. Now, I also want to thank Fernanda for sharing something about last episode. Apparently, I said scientists didn't know why do we sleep. But they do. What I should have said is they don't know why we dream. Similar idea, very different outcome. She also told us a bit about the this man theory. She says her co-worker is a psychiatrist, and apparently there are a lot of cases similar to it. But it seems like this man was basically spreaded as an implanted idea by the exposure to the drawing, which is kind of Inception, I guess. But it's just wonderful what our minds can do. I really love this, and that has a little bit to do with our topics today too, because we're gonna talk about haunted dolls. Haunted toys, actually, but that doesn't sound as good. So haunted dolls. In case you're wondering what do dolls have to do with the wonders of the mind, here's a little research for you, because I came prepared. No, but really, I learned a lot this time. Cognitive neuroscientists say it's related to the way our brains detect and pay attention to faces. Turns out, it's a very simple skill we all have, but the mystery in neuroscience would be, how exactly do we tell a who from a what? In spookier terms, what level of realism can make dolls creepy? We pay special attention to faces and we notice them really fast. This face recognition happens at such speed that our brains are really not very picky. Two circles, for example, and a curve are as much of a face as an actual face. But we all know that. That's why we have emojis, and that's why we can draw happy or sad faces with really minimal effort. But there's obviously a grade at which we can tell those apart from reality, or else we might regard on clouds, cars, or houses as living beings. Which makes me wonder if Disney knows this and they're trying to fuck with our brains, though. Anyway, dolls. The creepiness of dolls comes since they try to do a very good job at mimicking real faces, so they make our mind confused and trying to give a mind or signs of life, and it can't. But then again, they have faces that give signs that they are alive, and we know they aren't. But well, that's exactly the sweet spot where dolls creep us out. It's called the uncanny valley. Especially when everything in the face says alive and the eyes are off somehow. But even though this is all very interesting, this is not a science podcast. So you're here to get spooked, and people. I think you are. And by the way, the fear of dolls has a name. It's called pedophobia. But for most people made uncomfortable or scared by dolls probably don't suffer this phobia. Sometimes dolls have more than a creepy face, and sometimes they don't just look alive. They are. And I gotta be honest, I'm actually dying to skip it right ahead to the main topic, because today we're gonna talk about a great story, Robert the Doll. This one may not be new for you if you have watched the first season of Lore, or if you're a listener of the Two Girls One Ghost podcast, but it's honestly so good that I don't think anyone will mind a new rendition. Robert the Doll. Terrifying little dude. If you looked for a picture of him, you'd see a creepy little boy in a sailor suit, with a disturbing, careworn face that's only vaguely human. This nose looks like a pair of pinholes, his face shows a malevolent smear, and it's all covered in brown nicks, almost like scars. His beady eyes are black. Pinned to his lap, there's a pet or a toy of his own, supposedly a dog, but maybe a lion. And it has berry popping, happy eyes and a tongue, tirelessly hanging out of his mouth. In conclusion, he's terrifying to look at, but there are some other things about Robert that scare the hell out of people. He's haunted and has caused car accidents, broken bones, people to lose their jobs, people to divorce, and a real long playlist of misfortunes. The story of Robert the Doll, in the late 1800s, a man called Thomas Otto and his family moved in a mansion in the Key West, in Florida, which is now infamously known as the Artist's House. The Ottos were known to be stern with their servants, which, sadly, means they mistreated them a lot. Now, I don't know about the rest, but among them was a Haitian servant. And I mean Haitian, not Asian, so I mean she's from Haiti. She was a Haitian servant who was hired to take care of this guy's son, Robert. Supposedly, one day Mrs. Otto witnessed her practicing black magic in their backyard, so she fired her. However, before she left, this woman gave Robert a doll, about 3 feet tall, with buttons for eyes and human hair, which is believed to be Robert's. You probably get an idea already. However creepy the doll was, Robert immediately fell in love with it. He even named the doll after himself. Robert the Kid named his doll Robert. Robert the Kid named Robert the Doll. And I apologize if that's confusing. It was to his parents, but forget the confusion because it gets straight up weird. Besides giving the doll his name, Robert the Kid also dressed the doll in his clothes. Robert the Doll became his inseparable companion. He also used to take it with him on his trips to town. Think of it as a creepy toy story. This doll was kind of woody to this child. The doll had his own seat at the dinner table, and it would even be tucked into bed with him at night. Soon, this boy-to-doll relationship became something truly, truly odd. Very soon, Robert the Kid would start demanding to be referred to only by his middle name, Jean. This obviously made her mother refuse a lot, so as a response for his mother's discontent, he told her that Robert was the doll's name, not his. Jean was often heard in his room having conversations with Robert, and despite this isn't uncommon with children, whenever Jean would say something, you could hear responses in a much lower voice. Sometimes, Jean would be found in a corner, cowering and crying in fear, worrying the servants and his mother. Then, they would find the doll sitting in a chair, glaring at him. Over time, objects in the house would be found thrown all across the room, while Jean's toys would be mutilated. There was also jiggles that could be heard in the house at times, and whenever this happened, Jean always swore the exact same phrase. Robert did it. Obviously, the boy took punishment for it, but always insisting that Robert was the one to blame. As the mischief grew, servants would leave as new ones were hired. The others decided it was time to do something. They removed Robert from Eugene and placed him in a sealed box in the attic. He would live there for many years. With the death of his father, an adult Jean inherited his former home, so he decided to move in with his wife. He had become an artist, so he felt that the mansion would provide a neat place for him to paint. However, one day he went to the attic and found his dusty doll. He immediately became reattached to the doll, despite his wife's effort to separate them. Jean would take the doll everywhere along with them all of the time. He even sat Robert in his favorite chair while they slept. It was obviously all too much for Mrs. Otto, who moved Robert back to the attic. And then, their marriage slowly died. Robert returned to Jean, and Robert started attacking people sometimes, locking them in the attic. People who passed by claimed to hear evil laughter coming from the artist's house. The visitors claimed they would hear footsteps from the room above them, where Robert sat, and that things would seem to move around the house on their own. With no explanation from Jean besides, Robert did it. This went on until Mrs. Otto went insane, and she died of unknown reasons. Jean died soon after her too. But it goes on. As he was no longer with his companion, Robert the doll took a permanent position in a chair facing out of an upstairs window, where he could be seen by the people on the street below. Soon, people who passed by started avoiding walking past the house altogether. They would swear the doll would disappear and reappear, now facing another direction, or that his gaze would follow them as they passed below them. After a while, a new tenant moved into the home, a woman called Myrtle Rutter. Among other things, she kept Robert the doll. For 20 years, she lived in the home with Robert, and for 20 years, unexplained movements and sounds would come from the attic, where he lived. So finally, she donated him for the 4 East Martello Museum, citing only one reason for her donation. The doll was haunted. The museum took the doll, assuming the woman was talking nonsense. The staff did not put him on display, so instead they kept him in a storeroom. However, numerous people started to visit, all wanting to see Robert. Despite the doll had no press, these people somehow learned that the museum had a haunted doll. Letters also began arriving to the museum, all begging Robert for forgiveness and offering apologies for disrespecting him at some point. Eventually, the museum decided to display it, and today, Robert the doll sits safely behind glass. People still visit Robert daily, and they learned that cameras tend to malfunction in his presence and electronic devices go nuts around him. Visitors and employees claim they have seen the doll move. His smile has turned into a scowl, and over 120 years of age have deteriorated his body a bit, but not his customs. Once, an employee cleaned Robert, turned off the lights, and left for the night. The next day, he returns to find the lights turned on. Robert was sitting in a different position, and there was a fresh layer of dust in his shoes. Some people says he'll even curse you. If you want to take a picture of him, you must ask politely. If he doesn't want you to, like I said, cameras malfunction. However, some people insist, and if they claim they do so, a curse will befall upon you and your companions. Same thing if you make fun of him. He gets up to 3 letters every day. All of them apologies from visitors who attribute accidents and misfortunes to disrespecting Robert, and they write begging for forgiveness. Others write to hex people who have wronged them. And that was the story of Robert the Doll. There's a lot of great stories. I guess Annabelle has become the most infamous haunted doll of them all. but I don't know. I really believe Robert's story is way more uncommon, and I think it's more disturbing. It goes beyond the haunting, and it still has impact on people. Although, obviously, the real topic here is the relationship between Jean and Robert, which just feels so... I mean, you can tell how much he loved the doll, but it also scared the hell out of Jean. And it's just so uncanny. I think the connection they had was kind of a cute aspect of the story, but it's still not giving the doll's origin and that he gave the doll his own name. It also reminds me of Incubus and Succubus, which sometimes can trick people into feeling some sort of an attraction or even love towards them. I'm talking about demons. So, there's also the Stockholm Syndrome, in which I guess it doesn't really apply to the relation, but it kind of feels like the doll attached himself to Jean, and it made sort of think of him as an inseparable friend. I say this especially focusing on its origin, with a Haitian lady, since she clearly meant wrong for the family, although not necessarily towards the kid. But the thing is that it sort of refers to voodoo, so it makes you think whether it was a child's play scenario where an entity possessed the doll, or if it has more to do with Robert being kind of Jean's voodoo doll, in which maybe that's why the doll has Jean's hair, and it would explain why he gave his own name to the doll. And speaking of child's play, I really regret talking about that movie in the pilot, since it has nothing to do then, and it would just fit beautifully in today's topic, which is stressful, because as I'm recording, I haven't thought of an old movie to review, or at least not one that has to do with toys and dolls, but we'll see. In the meantime, however, we have submitted stories. First, we have a guest story called The Dollhead's House. It goes like this. This is not a horror story, but it's a bit creepy if you think about it. When I was a child, maybe 6 or 7 years old, my best friend lived near a very particular place. Every time we wanted to go buy candy, we have to go through the house that had doll heads at the gate. My friend's brother, who was older than us, used to tell stories about it, that the heads moved and that the man who lived there had daughters who had died and that he put the heads of their dolls in there. Or that the man was mean with the kids in the neighborhood, so he stole their toys, decapitated them, and put them at the entrance of his house as a warning. Years later, for a college project, I went to interview this man, and he told me that he had only put the doll heads because he found them in a wasteland and he thought it was a good idea to decorate his house with their heads. And then there's a ghost emoji. Well, that was a story. Now I have a story for myself. Basically, my worst story so far. It may not be that bad though. It's just one of the creepiest ones I have, I guess. I was around 6 years old, I just moved into a new state, and my parents took me to buy stuff, which I hated. It was sort of a market, and I noticed there was a sale on toys. Secondhand toys, that is. Now, I had never gotten used toys before. My mom was absolutely against it. To her, buying an used item would be a terrible thing to do, basically because it had residual energy from the previous owners, and you never know why they sold it. Which, actually, think of it, it was partly because of those stories about haunted or cursed objects. I especially remember one story, in which we heard that on the radio once. It was about this guy who found a wallet, he took it home, and he started seeing an evil entity that haunted him for taking his stuff. Apparently, he died getting robbed, and whoever got his wallet couldn't handle the curse and then just dropped it. But back to the story. Well, there were a lot of toys, but one popped to my side. It was an action figure, a little bit bigger than Max Steel, and it was a soldier. I immediately recognized it as Commander Chip Hazard from the movie Small Soldiers. For anyone who doesn't know Small Soldiers, it's a movie that came out a year after I was born, which will be 1998, and I absolutely loved it. It was kind of the worst case scenario of Toy Story, in which toys came to life, but would become bad. Come to think of it, it's kind of the same origin as Buddy in the Child's Play remake, with the artificial intelligence. However, these toys were two sides. There were the Gorgonites and the Elite Command. Ones were monsters, which would be the Gorgonites, and the other ones were soldiers. The soldiers were bad, and they hunted the Gorgorites. So, back to the story. Chip Hazard was the leader of the bad guys. And the toy was really creepy, too. He was all buffy and very angry. Honestly, I actually loved it. I needed to have it at that point. So I begged and begged, and obviously, like I said, my mom, she didn't want to buy it, and not only did she have a bad feeling about it, it was also expensive as fuck. But I was always a major Toy Story fan, and similar to it, my dad and I loved to watch Small Soldiers. So every time we'd catch it on TV, we would play it, and well, he knew how bad I wanted it, so he persuaded my mom, and I got it. Next thing you know, I was playing with him all of the time. I had other bad guys. I had, for example, I had Gangrene from Action Man. I had the Creepy Snake Dude from Max Steel. I don't know. The guy with the snakes. But Chip Hazard was the boss. However, I kind of mistrusted leaving guns near him. Mostly, I think, because of the movie. It was a toy that talked, but I never replaced the batteries when they died. So, time goes by, and it still creeps me out. I still hide guns from him, so he can't hurt my Max Steels. And one day, I must have been around 8 years old, I was playing with the other toys. Which I forgot to mention, but I have a special closet for my toys. So they were all locked up opposite to my room, and I remember everything was silent, since it was a very, very small town, and my neighbors were never around. So my mom was downstairs. I think she may have been cooking or something, and everything was dead silent. I may tell you more stories about it, but, well, more stuff happened to me around that age having to do with that silence. But for the sake of this story, it started sounding like someone was talking. Well, I started hearing a voice, kind of far away. And it sounded like someone was very fluently speaking, but with an angry voice. And I thought, huh, sounds like there's a cop outside. So I went to the window, and there was nothing outside. Which, this is pretty much like a movie, actually, with me silently trying to figure out where the voice came from. And it didn't shut up either. It was a very fluent kind of conversation. I figured it was like if someone was reporting or something over a radio. Because it wasn't a real conversation, it was more like a one-way conversation. Anyway, I did think of Chip Hazard, the toy, but I wasn't particularly into the idea, so I definitely didn't want to think it was my toy talking. But then I eventually ran out of options, so no source of the noise found. And then I decided to get closer to my closet door, where all of the toys were, and that was it, because the voice was definitely louder there. It came from the closet, that was no doubt about it, and it didn't care much about it either, it kept talking. So I was super scared, but I was very afraid of it. And I knew it was him, because it was his voice, but it didn't sound like a shitty speaker, and it didn't sound like the usual repetitive phrases either. I remember thinking maybe he wasn't aware that I could hear him, so I pretended I didn't, and I went downstairs and I calmly told my mom. Although she isn't that much of a believer, not of that kind of stuff, but I remember she didn't even doubt it about it. She just listened, she admitted she always had felt something off with this toy, and she agreed with me that we should not acknowledge that we knew in front of him. But she walked to my room and she heard it too. So she called me, she went downstairs again, well, we both went downstairs again, and we agreed to throw him in the garbage. Not gift him, just straight up throw it, toss it away. It was definitely haunted, and well, that's basically the story. We tossed him a bit afterwards, and we prayed that he wouldn't come back to haunt us, and he didn't, which is good. It took me kind of a while to be able to watch that movie again, but I never felt uncomfortable around my toys or on my closets ever again, and I never heard any more voices after that either. So that's it. That's the story. And, well, we're now gonna chill a little bit and listen to Najeli with a very interesting urban legend in her hometown.
There's this urban legend in a town next to mine. When I was little, people used to tell a story about a fancy neighborhood where a high-class family that lives in a house by a lake. And on a balcony, they have a porcelain doll facing the street. The story says that they had a daughter named Sarah, who was only 4 years old, when one day the girl was playing in the garden with a ball and this porcelain doll named Jarini, which she carried everywhere. While she was playing, the ball went to the street and Sarah ran to chase it, when suddenly a taxi driver ran over her and she died instantly. Many stories are told about this doll, like when the woman's daughter died, her spirit lives on the doll, and now she's sitting on the balcony of her house waiting for the taxi driver who killed her to take revenge. Other people say that they have seen the doll move her eyes or arms, and I even heard a story about how the doll tried to get the house on fire once, but I couldn't find any news about that, so I'm not sure if that's true, but I read something interesting. Some people try to shoot the doll because they are so afraid of her. The woman who has this doll says that none of these stories are real, that the doll was a gift for her daughter and that she has not died, but she change the doll's clothes every day, and that's creepy enough. And I always been afraid of porcelain dolls because I think they're creepy. And when I was little and I heard all that stories, of course I was even more afraid. Anyways, that's the whole story, and maybe there are even more, but I couldn't find any other one, so that's it.
Okay, now we know. Well, this story has a lot to do with, yeah, dolls, obviously, but it does remind me a lot of the story I told you about of Robert. Basically, because when his owner died, Jean, when Jean died, this doll was just looking to the window, and people would also freak out when they watched it, and they also swore he stared at them and that he moved. And well, you heard it a little bit earlier in this very same episode, so it does have a lot in common. It just it's a very, very interesting story, very interesting theories too. But well, we have yet another story. This one is found in Reddit, and it's called "Battery Operated Toy Keeps Working Without Batteries." By this point, I'm now aware people on Reddit are incredibly explicit on their titles. So basically, they spoil everything. But okay, this was posted by H the Fox. Okay, so this is one of the stories that I do not doubt at all, since there are four of us who only clearly remember, but still talk about it as adults, and we all remember it happening the same day. I got a stuffed talking bear given to me when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my brother got a slightly funnier stuffed monkey. Both of them would say random stuff if you lifted them up. The bear would say things like, "Give me a hug," or just say things like "yes" or "no." And if you left it on the ground face down, it would say, "Turn me over, turn me over." One day, my brother and two stepbrothers were playing with the bear and asking it the kind of rude and ridiculous questions that kids our age tend to ask and laughing hysterically. We kept trying to make the bear laugh too, because it has kind of a creepy laugh. No words will ever be able to convey it. Anyway, we were passing it around and trying to use it to insult each other when all of a sudden my brother threw it on the floor and freaked out a bit. He and my older stepbrother were staring at it in horror. And then my brother started shrieking that he'd taken the batteries out, so it should not have been able to say anything. My younger stepbrother and I were used to the two of them bullshitting us, since I was a girl and my youngest stepbrother was the littlest. So I called him a liar, grabbed it, turned it over and looked at the back, and sure enough, the batteries were gone. My brother held up the two batteries that he had taken out, and then we all started shrieking, and I threw it on the floor. It landed face down, and after a few seconds, the goddamn doll started to say, "Turn me over, turn me over." So we kept shrieking, and the freaking bear started doing that creepy laugh, which sounded even creepier at that point. So we all ran from the room. No one wanted to touch that bear ever again, and I refused to keep it in my room. We still talk about that story today and get the willies. Now, I think we have enough stories for now, but spoiler alert for a new episode, because I got a ton of Furby stories thanks to Reddit. So, I also got the answer about the batteries and reasons why they could talk without them, but let's just have a little bit of suspense. Now, I'm not sure if we're gonna talk about it next week, but probably not. We'll see. I don't know, because it's kind of the same topic. It's also dolls. So, well, it's Furbies, but kind of the same topic. So, basically, we'll see. And well, that means it's time for the movie review. And like I was saying, for an old movie, I should have done Child's Play on this episode, because it would fit so good. Something I did not mention for Robert the Doll is that Robert inspired Chucky. So, yeah, Child's Play is inspired by Robert the Doll, even in the voodoo parts that I told you about. But, yeah, we're not going to be able to talk about him. So instead, I'm going to talk about a Twilight Zone episode. This episode is called Living Doll. It's from the first seasons of the Twilight Zone, which, by the way, I'm very shocked every time I talk about it, because most people don't know Twilight Zone these days. But it was something I grew up with. And the Twilight Zone obviously inspired a lot of this show. For example, it inspired the hell out of the intro, the music, as well as Halloween's song, obviously. Well, it's a very influential show. I think everyone should watch it, because it's, honestly, between science fiction and horror, it's on point. It's just so good. But for this episode alone, Living Doll tells the story of Talky Tina. A mother buys her daughter a doll that talks. But that's extremely expensive and it bothers the dad, who doesn't like the doll at all. And, well, basically the whole story starts with Tina saying to him, or basically the recording of Tina saying to him, "I don't think I like you." Then the story escalates and, well, it eventually finishes with a very tragic accident. Well, not an accident, actually, but something that will happen. And it has a very particular line, too, because Tina doesn't talk much, actually. She just says, "I'm talking Tina, I love you." And the only variations of that are the one she has with the dad of "I don't think I like you," and with the mother at the ending. And it doesn't really have much of an, well, not much of an effort or a big production, actually. It's all very small, and basically that makes it good, because it just feels housewarming. And then you see how a house like that can be threatened by a doll. The host is obviously amazing, as always. But I think the words he had were on point. He says something about how we obviously know dolls don't talk and dolls don't commit murder. But, well, it's the Twilight Zone, so this is a case in which the doll did talk and the doll did commit murder. And, well, that is for the review. It's obviously not a movie, it's an episode, but it's a very good episode of a very good show. It's actually on YouTube, it's on Facebook, so anyone could watch it, and it's like 26 minutes long. Now for a new movie, I'm not exactly sure of what to talk about. I was wondering if I was gonna talk about The Boy, but I kind of hate the plot twist for The Boy. And right now I'm between two movies, because I said I wanted to talk about Child's Play, and there's a remake of Child's Play, and then there's Annabelle, but I mean, I like Annabelle, but the first movie isn't as great, and Annabelle 2 is not that good either. But I really, really love Annabelle 3, Annabelle Comes Home. So I think I'm going to talk about both of them, but very quickly. Annabelle Comes Home. We know about the Conjuring and everything. We may talk about it, those stories afterwards. But for this particular movie, we can see how the Warrens go out of their house and leave alone their daughter, who, with the babysitter, will encounter some sort of accident, in which I'm not gonna spoil that much, but basically Annabelle is let out and Annabelle is sort of a vessel for other beings, so everything in the house, which we know the Warren Collection has a lot of haunted stuff in general, so we know this, and well, since she is a vessel, then they start getting very, very spooked by everything in there. And while it's called Annabelle, it's actually not that much of about the doll. It's mostly about a lot of other monsters and ghosts. So it's very fun. It's not, I wouldn't call it a great movie, but it's very, very entertaining. And it's very different from the format of the rest of the Conjuring movies. But it, all together, it's really fun. I truly like it a lot. And for Child's Play, the remake, the one that was 2019, the doll, instead of being called Chucky, now is called Buddy. And the original Child's Play is about this serial killer that basically just possesses a doll. And this one is different. It's about artificial intelligence. So basically it's sort of a Siri or Alexa, more of an Alexa, but in a doll. So it's supposed to be this particular toy that got all of the features and all of the security codes off. And, well, the doll isn't particularly evil, he just acts according to what he thinks. So that's what will make a nightmare out of their lives. I don't think it has the charm of the original Child's Play, but I do find it entertaining. I do recommend to watch it. Although, if Child's Play is a 10 out of 10, this one is maybe a 6 or 7 out of 10. Not that great, but still very good. And well, that would be it for the reviews. And basically, for next episode, if someone has something that they would like to talk about, you could send it to me either by Instagram or by Twitter. The accounts are The Spooky Horror in both of them. And if you want to submit a story, then you can send it to thespookyhorror@gmail.com. Now, I also have another, I wouldn't call it a project, but there's the Kickstarter. It's basically trying to get money to get a better microphone. And well, that's it for the episode, which turned out way longer than I expected. But now you know. Next time you're scared by a doll, remember it's just the Uncanny Valley, it's not alive. Unless it is. And beware your toys, because there may be ghosts.
This was an insight into a mysterious land. And the stories about those have returned. That noise you heard while home alone, the shadows in the corner of your eye.